The United Nations has called 2014 the International Year of Family Farming. The second instalment in our series looking at family farms takes us to Denmark, a small Nordic country with a population of 5.5 million. Denmark is one of the world's wealthiest nations whose workers are among the best paid, but it's perhaps best known for the world-famous toy group Lego. Agriculture was once Denmark's largest employer, but not anymore. Manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, and technology have taken over. Family farming, however, still plays an important role in Denmark, and today we meet Anders Tuning, a second-generation mink farmer.
Can you describe what you do, how you go about mink farming?
We have this farm of about 1,400 females, and which is a family size farm. I have no employees full-time. I have a guy coming helping me in the season where it's very busy, but otherwise I'm just by myself. The average size of a mink farm in Denmark today is about 2,000 females, and I'm not it's not possible for me to make it larger because the city is coming so close to us. Instead of growing, we are trying to make a very good quality pelts instead of a big quantity. And that's what is my challenge, and that's what keeps me happy.
So what's involved? Do you do the breeding and the feeding and the growing?
Oh, yes. The thing about mink compared to pigs and cows and hens is that the mink have this one-year cyclus. They only get in heat once a year in March. So that means that in the month of March, we are very busy breeding mink because they only are in heat those 14 to 16 days in March. And then all the females will have their kids in the end of April until 10th of May.
The breeding, is that done, I take it from what you're saying, that's done conventionally? You don't artificially inseminate?
No, it's all natural. For those 1,400 females, we will have about 250 males. So they're quite busy in March. In average, a male has to breed about 6 females, and they have to be bred twice.
What is their behaviour like? What are the challenges with every livestock has its own challenges. What are the particular unique challenges to mink?
From an economical point of view, the big challenge is to make a very fine quality of fur. Of course, you need to have healthy animals as well. If you really do care about your animals and you do your very best, it really pays off.
But how long does it take to grow the pelt?
Well, actually, the kids that are born in May this year will already be ready to be pelted in November. When they are born, they are only about 10 grams, the size of my little finger. But in 8 weeks, they'll be as big as their mother, about 1 kilo.
Well, who buys the pelts? Where's the market?
For the recent years, the market has been China. A lot of it is just manufactured in China and then they re-export it to Europe.
Hmm. Has that destination, that market changed over the years? I'm imagining there was a time where mink was in high demand in places like Europe and North America, but that may have changed in recent times.
Oh, yes, exactly. 20 years ago, it was mainly United States, and Italy was a very big buyer because of the fashion. And Russia has always been in the market, and that's not so much because of the fashion, but because in Russia it's bloody cold and there's nothing that beats a fur coat when it's very, very cold.
So there's two markets, are there? There's the high-end fashion and then there's the practical use as well.
Yes, exactly.
How is the public interest and the public scrutiny of your farming practices? How has that changed?
It's pretty high, actually. We have had some years ago some very critical journalists that were trying to tell people that it was not done okay, the welfare was not okay. And that meant that our organization have been doing a very big job opening farms and telling people what we were doing and showing them around. Every time somebody asks me if they can come and take a look at my farm, I say yes. And we have a lot of school classes. We have people from Rotary or other organizations coming and seeing what we are doing because we have nothing to hide.
Is there any other product from mink? Is there any meat market or is it all about the pelts?
Actually, there's quite a lot of fat on a mink body, and that is converted to bio energy, like diesel for cars.
So there's cars in Denmark powered by mink grease, is there?
Yes.
When did that
start? Of course, it's only a small amount of the diesel that is made of mink fat, but yes, it exists.
My guest on Bush Telegraph is Anders Terning, who's from Sealand in Denmark, a mink farmer there. Anders, you talked about the fact there are less people in farming these days. How hard is it to attract young people to your industry these days?
Well, it is quite a challenge. It's getting harder and harder to be self-employed because there are fewer but larger farms now. So it's kind of difficult for the young people to buy a farm. Mm. Another challenge in Denmark is that we have quite a few laws. It's very hard for us to start a mink farm or to enlarge it because of environmental laws. It can take several years to get your permit to start or to enlarge a mink farm.
Several years. So even if you can make the money stack up or you can access the capital and buy the land, you've still got the regulatory hurdles.
Yeah.
What is the future then for family farms in Denmark?
Oh, it is still families that are running most of the farms. It's just that they are getting bigger. When I started in 89, when I bought the farm from my father, we were about 5,000 mink ranchers in Denmark with an average size of 600 females. And then we had a very big financial crisis in the industry that lasted for about 7 years. And today we are only about 1,500 farmers left with an average size of about 2,000 females. I might be one of the last generations that wants to have a small farm like mine where I have to be there every day of the year. Today, the young people, they would rather have a big farm or work on a big farm where they can have their 37 hours a week and have their holidays and stuff like that. And, well, I don't disagree.
So you have a son and a daughter, but you also have the heritage of your father started the mink farming, I think, back in 1938. So what's your feeling? Would you like to see your children follow in the family business?
It's not important to me, not at all. I don't really see a future where I have my farm because the city is growing, and it might, in 20 years, we might be in the middle of the city. So I just want them to find something that makes them happy.
So that's Anders Torrens, who's a mink farmer from Denmark. Today's farmer in our Family Farmers of the World series that we're looking at all week. This is because it's the United Nations Year of the Family Farm. Family farmers, according to the UN, produce about 80% of the world's food production and represent 9 out of every 10 farmers. So that's why they are so important. Still to come this week, you'll hear from some family farmers in PNG, and a really interesting story about how it's mainly the women that farm in this part of Papua New Guinea, and the challenge there is to get more men involved in farming so they can increase production. You'll also be hearing later in the week from a Colombian farmer. The main challenge there is actually staying alive. This is a farmer who grows crops in one of the most dangerous and lawless parts of the country, and there have been many farmers killed in that region. So you'll be hearing from the Colombian experience. And you'll also hear from a farmer in the United States who's facing the real challenge at the moment of just staying in business through the worst drought he can remember. So that's one that many Australian farmers will relate to. So that's still to come this week on our series on family farms around the world.